best part about it. Maybe that's what I'm kind of overlooking is that these guys all coming back. They maybe they have a plan and they're ready to put it together, and we have these guys coming in, and we're going to show them the way, because it's weird to be thinking about Will Richardson coming back in as a negative when he's been my favorite player the last few years.
It's a weird headspace to be in, for sure. It's tough. And this is the state of college basketball right now. Hello and welcome to the Flock Pod. We are at hashtag 117 here in the beautiful condo. The Avateria producers are once again asleep on the job, so they will be no help to us today. If you'd be so kind, please go find us on your favorite and all of those podcast streaming platforms. Give us the 5-star ratings. Click that little subscribe button to make sure that we show up fresh and hot in your feed every time we have a new episode come out. Also, please go find us on all of your favorite social media channels, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram. We are not on TikTok yet because Shane and I are old. But if you'd please go find us on all those other social media channels, we'd very much so appreciate it. Give us the follow, like some of those posts, give us some retweets, all of that good stuff. You can find me at Coach Justin D on those same social media channels. Shane, tell them where you are.
You can find me at BartenderShane6 on Twitter and at WalkaFlockaShane6 on the Instagram. Yes, too old for TikTok, and also not very cool, too.
Yeah, so not, definitely down. Not cool enough. No, I could do like a TikTok for the dogs. Like that would maybe work. Or like a van TikTok. Put the ghost out there on some cool things. But
it's, yeah. Instagram just shut down our Instagrams for our cats. They each had their own personal page, yeah, and it was like requiring identification, and then just like completely wiped them off the face of.
I was like,
so is Instagram like cracking down on like animal accounts?
Oh my gosh, like maybe there were some nefarious things going on with kitty accounts. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Tread lightly with the Avateria.
Yeah, we'll have to check TikTok. The Avateria page now to see if that's still alive on Instagram. I haven't touched that in forever, but yeah, looks like the Flockpot account's still good. So definitely go check that out for some more. Yes, we are real people, and lots of duck tent out there. And we haven't recorded for a while because, to be honest, there hasn't been a lot of duck tent out there. You know, our guy Peyton Pritchard last night went himself and had a game. So we're going to talk about him today. The Trailblazers are in the news with Nike and the Dodgers kind of getting involved. And then we're going to talk a little Oregon hoops. We got some guys coming back that made this roster just a tiny bit more intriguing. But first, yeah, let's talk about the NBA Finals, Shane. Again, we haven't talked in a little while. It is the Boston Celtics versus the Golden State Warriors, which of course means our guy Peyton Pritchard is out there playing for the Boston Celtics. And Shane put out a viral tweet last night that has just gone crazy since, talking about how cool it was that he was on the floor with 5 minutes to go. And really, he and Derek White were the Celtics' best backcourt last night. Marcus Smart was really struggling from an offensive and defensive perspective, really high and low. Pritchard finishes with 16 minutes, 8 points on 3-for-4 shooting, 2-for-3 from behind the three-point line, 6 rebounds, which I think is probably the most surprising statistic, and 2 dimes in the 120-108 Boston Celtics victory. Shane, what did you think? What was it like seeing Peyton out there last night?
Well, I mean, like you said, only 16 minutes is kind of on par with his average throughout the regular season. And I mean, it took a little bit of a dip throughout the playoffs, depending on certain matchups. He didn't play that much against Miami, but I think that was kind of more with the way that Miami plays offensively, where they just really like grind and grind and grind, where this Golden State Warriors team is a little more free flowing, which kind of gives Peyton a little bit of more of an opportunity. But yeah, those 16 minutes were all extremely valuable minutes, especially going down the stretch. Like you said, he was on the floor during the run when Marcus Smart had gone to the bench. And I mean, having your defensive player of the year not out there because Steph Curry is absolutely giving him the torching business, him. And I mean, yeah, just losing him all over the floor. Like, I put out a tweet that it was like, I guess they're just not going to guard Steph Curry. And people are like, I guess it's not the case. And I was like, well, I was kidding, because they are definitely trying to guard Steph Curry.
They're doing their best. Yeah.
That's not the guy you leave open. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was a really entertaining game. I thought it was probably one of the better games of the playoffs so far this year. I don't know. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did watch the whole thing. And I think it's interesting that the Celtics, being such a defensive minded team, have actually been involved in a lot of the good games from this playoff run. Even some of those games they had against the Nets, even though that series was a sweep, those were some good games. You know, mm-hmm. those were some good battles there. The thing that I found most intriguing, and something, if you watch Steph Curry, he's 6'3". And for a 6'3" guard, he does have a little bit of a high dribble. So he can be irritated by guys that are a little shorter and that are like as quick or quicker than him. And that's one thing that Peyton does have, is he's got quick little active hands. And he did a good job just in his 16 minutes, just kind of being an irritant on Steph, mm-hmm. and just kind of slowing him down a little bit. I feel like bigger guards sometimes have a harder time tracking and following Steph, because he is so good at just waiting until he sees one of your ears, basically, because then he knows you're not looking at him, and then he's moving, he's cutting. You know what I mean? Peyton does a good job of getting his head on a swivel and staying with him a little bit more on some of that split maneuvers. But it was fun to see a Duck in that environment. I'm conflicted on this series, because I used to be a Celtics fan. I kind of sold off my Celtics fandom after everything went down with like Danny Ainge and Isaiah Thomas and all of it. Just felt weird. And Danny Ainge and I have a weird relationship. Anyway, yeah, just didn't feel good anymore. So that's conflicting, but I love the brand of basketball that the Warriors play. Actually, I mean, I love the brand of basketball that both of these teams play. It's a good contrast with the grit and grind, and then the beautiful free flowing offensive style that the Warriors are bringing. So as a fan, are you rooting for either one of these teams? Are you rooting for good basketball? What are you rooting for?
Well, yeah, I mean, more than anything, I'd like to see a good series.
Yes,
just with basketball, games. with the NBA season coming to an end. I have gotten fully invested in the WNBA season, so we'll have that to kind of like take over the summer, and then the XFL starting this summer too.
We'll have
some options. Well, I am curious about the rollout of the XFL.
Baseball, baby, come on over to baseball, Shane.
USFL. Oh, I've been watching a ton of baseball.
Hey, there we go. Good. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm definitely all in on baseball. I'm definitely all in on this Mariners team too.
Yes. But, oh, we should talk some Mariners, dude. Definitely. Okay.
But let's get back to your original question.
Yes.
I am rooting for the Celtics, even though I probably have more negative things to say about the Celtics and that area. I'm not a big fan of Massachusetts. I almost moved there once. It's a weird place, and everybody drinks Dunkin' Donuts. It's strange. But that being said, the Warriors kicked the shit out of the Blazers a few times, and I just have never been able to get to the point. While I appreciate Steph Curry, I like Klay Thompson. Draymond is an interesting person to have in your life, no matter about how you feel about
that's
him.
Such a great way to put it.
I think with Peyton being, you know, the former Duck, also Portland native, we got Ime Udoka, also Portland native. Yes. I just really like his story and how he's come into prominence in this coaching, and the fact that he's been so successful immediately kind of has this like another Portland native Eric Spoelstra kind of like feel to it, where it's like, holy shit, dude, this guy's going to be, could be one of the greats if he stays on this trajectory. Yeah. So I am rooting for Boston, but kind of like you, a tad hesitantly.
I found in those games, I find it interesting to see what fandom comes out of me. Like I start just rooting for good basketball, just rooting for championship level basketball. Like Big Waz says, you know, just give me championship excellence every night out and I'll be happy. But I found like third quarter, I was rooting for the Celtics. I was sitting on the couch and I was cheering for the Celtics. I like Jaylen Brown a lot. Whenever I start a 2K franchise, he's always the first guy I go put on my roster. I just love Jaylen Brown. I love him off the court and on the court, what he stands for. I think he's a really interesting player in today's NBA. Big Al, how can you not root for Big Al being in his first NBA finals? Just a great all around NBA story. And yeah, there is a part of me that I mean, my feelings on Peyton Pritchard are well documented on this podcast. I'll just put it that way. Yeah. If you want to jump back into the archives and you want to listen to some of that, you can. But I did find myself.
We're going to talk about Will Richardson later, so I'm going to have to eat some words too. So don't worry, dude. We're both there.
I'll say it right now. I was wrong. I thought he'd be in Europe. I did not think Peyton Pritchard would be an NBA basketball player, and I was dead wrong. I mean, I've been wrong about the two biggest prospects now to come out of Oregon the last couple of years with our guy Justin down there for the Chargers. I mean, my reputation's waning right now, Shane. I need a win. I need Ty Thompson to come through for me, man.
but I mean, like you said with my tweet last night, where I said that, you know, it's cool to see Peyton Pritchard on the floor in this situation. It's funny that some people took that as being disrespectful, where to your credit, go look at the comments.
I did see it later. Yeah.
To your credit, I mean, like, nobody really. So if people thought that Peyton Pritchard was going to be a solid NBA player, fucking show me the person who thought that Peyton Pritchard was going to be in an 8-man rotation in game one of the finals on the road in San Francisco, because nobody thought that.
This early in his career, nobody thought that. I think people thought he had a possible Jason Terry like career path, maybe later on when he was a little wiser and things like that. But for him to be doing it now, this soon, it's just wildly impressive. It speaks to the work he's put in. It speaks to who he is as a person in regards to his intelligence and his work ethic and everything else. So got to give him props for that. You know, got to give him props. And like you said, it was fun to see a Duck out there in crunch time. And playing well,
hard. And I mean, and playing against, like, the, you know, arguably one of the best backcourts in NBA history.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I mean, because now we kind of have to reevaluate. I think before we kind of looked at where Peyton Pritchard is now as his ceiling almost. I mean, that's how I looked at it, where now I'm reevaluating. I'm like, could Peyton Pritchard be a starting guard on a playoff team in the NBA? And I actually think that that's 100% plausible.
Can he be Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's the perfect kind of, like, scenario where, that's, I mean, you're not like.
Yeah, you're right, though. You're definitely right. And I just can't believe how wrong I was. I just missed it. I just missed that his size, his diminutive size. You saw it show up in the Miami series because Jimmy hunted him mercilessly, backed him down and shot over the top of him. So he is not without his failures out there as a basketball player. But you're right. I think in the right system, I think he could do it. So,
well, plus Miami also, like, that backcourt. I mean, you want to talk about people, like, just try hards, you know what I mean? Cause that's where Peyton is. Like, he's this ultimate try hard kid right now.
Yeah.
But then Miami is just like a team of try hards. I mean, you have Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. They're like, what the fuck? I mean, you went to a D1 like school 4 years, bro. Like, we had to, like, really grind it out. So,
Kyle,
I mean,
Lowry's like, I got a fat tire on you, brother. Like, I got you right here. You know what I mean? I got you on my belly. Get in my belly, son. I'm gonna teach you a lesson.
Yeah, so I mean, that I think Miami might have been the absolute worst matchup for him as a player individually in the NBA probably that he'll see for the rest of his career.
That's definitely a bad matchup, but it'll be interesting to see, because that's what I didn't think he could play defense in the NBA. I thought he could shoot, I thought he could create. I know if he'd be able to finish at the rim with his size, but he's got a nice creative layup package. He's expanded, I mean, even his range for the NBA, which he needed to, again, because of his size. So yeah, we'll see. It's going to be fun to watch his career now moving forward. I do think there is an argument for this being his apex mountain, if he's going to be in this type of position again moving forward, or if a franchise is going to be willing to, or if the Celtics just say, hey, screw it, we're just going to invest in this kid and we're going to look at him, you know, moving forward. We're going to think he can be maybe our starting one, or at least the sixth, seventh man, you know, for this unit for the next few years. Looking at this series now, Celtics obviously get a big win last night on the road. Game two, I believe, is Saturday.
Yes.
I guess I should probably look that up real quick. But
so,
either way, how do you see the rest of this series unfolding? Do you think the Celtics now take control and win this thing early on? Do you think it's a long series and the Warriors battle back? Where do you see it?
I think it's going to be tied going into game five. I think it's going to be 2-2. I see Golden State winning the next one. I see Boston winning three. Actually, no, I see Golden State winning the next two, and I see Boston winning four. So it'll be tied up 2-2 going into five. And I mean, something that the commentators in the game yesterday kind of touched on was like playoff experience versus playoff inexperience. And Mark Jones was kind of saying that, you know, while inexperience is bad, you also do benefit from, you know, being naive to the situation.
Just not knowing any better, man. Yeah. Right. Just not knowing any better. Yeah.
I think that last night was kind of the ultimate. We kind of saw like the ultimate benefit of that, where, I mean, Marcus Smart gave that amazing speech, even though, like you said, not having a good game on both ends of the floor, but really, you know, gearing that team like on the sideline and really fueling that second half push. I see that as kind of a big momentum thing where Golden State's been there before. They're not going to be down bad after this loss. I mean, these guys have, you know, so much experience between that, like that core three plus your, Wiggins doesn't have a ton of finals experience, but no. I mean, they have the pieces, they have the veterans. So God, I mean, I saw that Boston is now like the odds on favorite to win the series, but it's tough. It's a tough one. I'd probably still lean Golden State to win the series overall.
I say Boston wins it in seven and big Al Horford wins finals MVP.
That would be cool. So that's, you think Boston wins in
the Chase Center, baby?
Yeah.
I honestly think that there's a really good chance the Celtics win the next game. And then I think the Warriors could win the next three.
So home court is just out the window.
Just doesn't matter right in this series. Yep. Well, I mean, Boston now has the most road playoff wins, or tied for the most playoff wins, I believe, in NBA history. So yeah, I think home court is just not. I mean, both home courts are lively environments, but I think just both of these teams are so good, and both of these teams are so good on the road, that I don't think it's going to matter. But I think there's a chance, like you said, that it's going to be like 2-2 going into game five. I could see us still see the Warriors maybe winning that game, and then the Celtics winning two to bring it home. I think the Celtics win it in seven. I think it's going to be an epic series.
You're calling a real roller coaster of emotions.
Yes.
Do you think that same home court advantage wouldn't matter if the games were played at Oracle back in Oakland?
No, I just think defense travels. And I just think the Celtics has a really high don't give a fuck meter, you know, and they're fueled by big Al Horford right now. And I think he's going to lead them to the promised land.
So funny. I was like talking about it with Aisha. I was like, I was watching Al Horford play college basketball my freshman year in high school.
So long ago.
I'm turning 32 in like 8 days. Man. But yeah, I did notice that the energy level there last night was a little bit different than some of those years past. And I did hear, I wish I could give the person credit who said this, but I think I saw it on Twitter. I can't remember who. Somebody called them the Gentrified State Warriors. And that's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah, this could be the curse, you know, since they moved to the Chase Center. Maybe they don't win another one. But all right, let's go ahead and jump forward. Let's quickly touch on this Ducks versus Michigan Louisville regional game. The Ducks finished fourth in the Pac-12 for baseball. They are playing in the Louisville regional. They are the second seed in that Louisville regional. Michigan baseball kind of has a fun story, kind of captured lightning in a bottle down the stretch. They won three out of their last four in the regular season and then knocked off the top four seeds in their conference tournament to win the conference championship and actually get a bid to the NCAA tournament. So a little bit of a Cinderella story, and that is nothing new to Michigan baseball. 2019, they were the last team to receive an at-large bid into the tournament and became one victory short of a national championship. So little history for Michigan baseball. Again, that game is going to start at 4:00. I'm going to really try hard to get this podcast out before that, but I don't think it's going to happen because I've got dinner plans tonight and I am not going to miss those dinner plans, as she looks at me as I say that.
Did you get a corner of the eye?
I got a little look there. Yeah, I got a little look. The Flockers, I'm sorry. I love you. I love all of our Flockers, but go Ducks. I have not been tapped into this Oregon baseball team. I'll be honest. I really wanted to make it to an Oregon baseball game this year. Did not happen. I was a little bummed to see when I got detached attached when my guy Carson Leiden left the program and kind of decided to do his own thing. I really wanted to follow his story, but yeah, all the best to Oregon baseball today. Go Ducks.
Yeah.
Phil Knight and Dodgers owner Alan Smolinski make a $2 billion plus bid to purchase the Portland Trailblazers. What was the first thing that ran through your mind when you read that article, that headline, Shane?
Perfect owner. That's the perfect owner. Yeah, I mean, a few things kind of ran through my mind. One of them, I know you'll hate.
You tagged me in that shit on Twitter and I almost threw up.
It makes so much sense, though. LeBron needs a landing spot. He needs a landing spot. He wants out of L.A. I mean, the writing is on the tea leaves there. I mean, it's as crazy as it is. He's easier to trade than Russell Westbrook right now, based on contracts and value.
I just hope that if that happens, I hope they keep Chauncey Billups as the coach, so I have a legit reason to still not root for the team.
I would be all in. As much as I have despised LeBron over the last few years, I mean, he makes any team better. I don't care if he's 45 and he has a cane out there. He's still going to make teams
young
better.
Young whippersnapper.
Yeah, I mean, but also, so that's one avenue that I kind of thought of. But then there's another thing that I was kind of thinking about. Would this be a negative outcome for the University of Oregon?
No, I think it's a net positive because it keeps the Blazers here. And I think keeping the state of Oregon relevant on a national sports front is still beneficial for the University of Oregon. I don't think that this would take resources away from the University of Oregon. They can't all of a sudden start making 100 jerseys for the Blazers. I mean, the NBA has certain rules against that kind of stuff, and they can only make so much gear and things of that nature in regards to it also. So I don't think it's any kind of net negative. If anything, I think it might strengthen the relationship between the two, which would only be a positive.
Which is a pretty strong relationship already between Nike and the university. Absolutely. I guess my worry is,
you know, I meant also with Oregon and the Blazers, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. My worry is kind of like we've heard for a long time now, Phil talking about wanting to bring a national championship to Oregon in one of the main sports. And if now his main goal was an NBA championship rather than, you know, a football or basketball championship at the university, and just some of that focus, some of that attention shift over to the,
I see where you're coming
professional
from.
Ranks.
Yep.
And I mean, it's, you know, colleges profit a ton, you know what I mean? And Phil has had a lot of benefits from, you know, Oregon being what they are as a football program. But at the same time, it's a lot easier to make legal money in the professional ranks than it was in the college ranks. Now it's kind of loosening with the, you know, the financial stipulations around, you know, players and whatnot. We're not seeing that get cracked down on as much anymore. But I mean, it is, I wouldn't say I'm like worried about it, but it is something that I'm aware of now.
Think about this, Shane. Portland Trailblazers have been a cheap franchise. They're one of the few teams in the NBA that doesn't have their own G League team.
Ooh.
If Nike gets involved, we have this beautiful arena down here in Eugene, Oregon, only 2 hours south of Portland, having the G League nice and close, trying to capture, you know, some of the basketball community down here to go to some of the, I would go to almost every G League game.
I was going
to
say,
man, sign me up.
Tickets. If yes. That were to be the case.
Sign me up, baby.
And also,
Are you going where I think you're going to go?
Let's see. Maybe. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Why wouldn't you want to have a WNBA team also?
Well, and I was just about to say they're expanding. They're adding two more teams by as early as 2024. And yep, Portland is on an 8 to 10 city list. And I don't even know. I mean, I guess you could do Portland even if you had, you know, you could play in any of the college stadiums or if there is like a basketball arena in one of like the suburb areas, like your Oregon City.
They go
City,
Portland,
Beaverton.
They play at the Rose Garden. I bet they'd play at the Rose Garden. But the Moda Center, whatever the fuck it's called now.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen, or it could be at the, not the Moda Center, but the,
Coliseum?
The stadium next door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have Coliseum. Seen some WNBA teams kind of shifting to smaller stadiums, mm-hmm. just because of the amount of tickets that they're selling. Yeah. And
how it looks come on TV. Down to Eugene. Absolutely. Let them play at Matthew Knight. Nice small arena, intimate atmosphere. Again, that'd be another one. Be like, hey, want to buy some season tickets? Like, let's go have 100%. Some fun, baby.
Yeah. I'd be more into that than the G League. I think I'd go WNBA G League and then.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Yeah.
Just because I can't afford season tickets to the other things.
Not wrong there. So really exciting. I think the big news about that bid is that once again, it keeps the Blazers here. It keeps mm-hmm. the Blazers in Portland. Looks as though the NBA is going to be expanding also in the next 2 to 3 years. Seattle and Las Vegas are just too easy. It's a slam dunk. The NBA wants an infusion of money. I think that is a slam dunk choice for the NBA to expand. So lots of fun NBA news there.
Yeah.
Last and not least, well, actually, look at a little Mariners talking out there at the end. Will Richardson decides to join good old Quincy when withdrawing from the NBA draft and comes back to Oregon. I'm going to pass you the ball. I'm going to clear out. ISO. All right.
Man, I was wrong on this one. I was 100% sure that Will wasn't coming back. I thought there was some bad blood in the water. I still think there is. And I've actually heard some weird outside things that I'm not going to say on this episode about, ooh. You know, some things brewing down there in the men's basketball program.
But ooh, we'll have the little talk. We could go. I don't want to do the editing today. So yeah, we'll talk after.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a strange move, honestly. I mean, this team, it seems like they were kind of like picking up and moving on from, you know, what the team had looked like the last 2 years. And I think last year being probably most disappointing team in
recent memory.
Decade?
Yeah, definitely recent memory.
Yeah. And I mean, just because of where expectations were, and I mean, we just didn't really see it with the years prior to these teams. We never saw a team get beat and walk off the court with their tail between their legs. And that was really how this team looked at the end of the year. They looked like they didn't give a shit about each other. It looked like they didn't really give a shit about the rest of the season. It was like a 1-2-3 Cancun kind of thing by the end there. So Will in this decision, you know, conversations have been had, things have been hashed out, and they're ready to pick up and move on. But I think this is bad for the program. Honestly, I don't like it.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So kind of what Shane's referencing here. So Richardson, Quincy, Infale Dante, and Rivaldo Soares look like they're coming back. Looks like Nathan Biddle is still... I haven't seen any news. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he entered the portal or not, but he's kind of up in the air. And then coming into the program, we have 5-star Khalil Ware, 5-star Dior Johnson, transfer JUCO All-American Tyrone Williams, transfer Keyshawn Barthelemy, and transfer Jermaine Cuisinard. So this is going to be another complicated team for Dana to take all of these really talented pieces. Once again, lots and lots of talent, 2 5-star kids in there, and make them work. So I think, you know, what you're smelling, you know, is some potential problems once again for this team to kind of have a repeat of last year where, yes, the puzzle pieces are nice, but when they all put together, it's kind of ugly.
Yeah. And I mean, last year just reminded me so much of like a rat ball team. It was just like they looked like a team, like a bunch of like good guys in an open gym who just couldn't play together. They're just like, it's like, why, how is this team not on the court? Like, how are they not staying on the court all night long? And it's just because it just wasn't gelling for whatever reason. So, I mean, if they're able to kind of like pick things up, maybe there was some shit going on kind of like beneath the surface that we didn't know about. But I mean, Will Richardson, we saw him progress so much. And then it was, here's the keys, man. The team is yours. Go be first team all Pac-12. We were thinking he could be Pac-12 player of the year.
Some crazy shit, man. Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe national player of the year was even like brought into the conversation. And I've never really seen a player digress like that. And also it wasn't just like, oh man, he's not hitting his shots. Oh, is it the wrist thing? Oh, is his hand fucked up? It was just like, he just kind of going through the motions. And I think that was kind of the weirdest part about it. And then to have Dana go out there in his exit interview and be like, we don't have guys that we have to kick out of the gym. We don't have Peyton Pritchards. We don't have fucking Grizzly guy, blanking on his name, Dylan Brooks. Like, we don't have these guys on the team. And then just like bring back the core, essentially. I mean, they're losing, like, you know, Davion Harmon and who's the other guard? Jacob Young.
Yep.
And I mean, honestly, down the stretch, Jacob Young was probably the best of the three.
His give a shit meter was very high. I think he continued to play hard. Here's what I've heard. Lots of personal stuff. Like I said at the beginning of this season, it didn't look like this team liked each other just from the get-go. They didn't play how there were some guys not getting picked up off the floor, some shoulder shrugs, some rolling of the eyes. You know me, I love watching the body language stuff, and it just didn't look right. What I'd heard is there was some stuff going on just in, again, personal stuff, right? Off the court, off the basketball stuff. And then Will got sick. And then after that, he just wasn't able to bounce back. So hopefully some of that is resolved. Hopefully Dana, if him and Dana do have something going on, hopefully they're able to, you know, squash that beef or set it whatever aside. And Will Rich hopefully will be able to become confident, become a star in whatever role this team needs him to be. Because I could see a starting backcourt right now of Duar Johnson and Keyshawn Bartholomew. Mm-hmm. You know, or Jermaine Cuisine. I mean, there's a lot of options now that Dana has. Once again, he's got a lot of toys to play with. So how those toys all fit together in the toy chest is going to be really interesting to see. I'm not going to go out there talking any crazy stuff again about this team predicting national championships. And I will say that my prediction that Coach K's retirement tour would be ruined was correct. So I will take just a smidgen of credit for that one, but everything else was wildly wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we go back to the conversation you, Zach, and I had preseason, I mean, we were all wrong about everything. It was a clusterfuck. There's really no other like way to put it besides it just being this self-imploding kind of just wrong place, wrong time type situation, I think. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was honestly the player I was most surprised by coming back was Quincy Guerrier. I thought he was just going to be like, get me out of here, dude. Mm-hmm. What did I sign up for? I really like him as a player. I think that he has a lot of tools that I really value in basketball players, mm-hmm. being really versatile and like really knowing yourself, knowing your own limitations and playing within them. So, and just, I mean, he's a fucking Adonis of a person.
He's a big dude. Yeah.
So he's so built, but I mean, so maybe that's the best part about it. Maybe that's what I'm kind of overlooking is that these guys all coming back, maybe they have a plan and they're ready to put it together. And we have these guys coming in and we're going to show them the way, because it's weird to be thinking about Will Richardson coming back in as a negative when he's been my favorite player the last 3 years.
Right. It's a weird headspace to be in, for sure. It's tough. And this is the state of college basketball right now.
Yeah.
It's like Drew Timmy is coming back to Gonzaga.
I saw that.
Yeah. You know, it's just, this is where we are. It's transfers. It's sixth year players. It's what I always wanted, Shane. Just take away the eligibility requirements. Just get rid of them. If these guys want to stay in college and just keep playing, let them do it. Especially now with NIL, hell.
I kind of like that.
Let him do it. Let Drew Timmy play for Gonzaga for the next 10 years if he wants to. I mean, I think it'd be a beautiful thing. But again, this team's going to come together. I'm really excited to – I'm going to go. This will be one thing. I want to go to the March or the Midnight Madness. Mm-hmm. I want to see this team as early as possible and how it's looking together. I mean, already getting a little bit of pub and some top 20 way early rankings out there. Go check out DucksWire. .usatoday.com for all of your Duck news, but definitely check them out for an article that Zach put up a little bit ago, talking about how they are up there for some top 20 early rankings. So it tells you the belief that the national media has in Dana Altman putting this thing back together.
Well, I mean, I was ready to just watch Duar Johnson and Khalil Ware just run pick and rolls all season. So, I mean, I was already stoked enough for that.
So, hey, throw Biddle into a Euro action, popping on that, and I am all in, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be fun.
It should be interesting. But I mean, if you would have told me like this time last year that like Frank Kepnang would be in Washington and Will Rich was back, like
that's a great point. That's a great. Oh, you had to bring it up. That's so sad. Okay. Seattle Mariners are 22-29. So they're struggling. They're not what we wanted, but
goddamn Boston.
Real quick, what's your favorite storyline right now for the Seattle Mariners team?
The changing of the guard, I think. The fact that Seattle is actually trying to win games for once. The fact that they're, you know, winning. Just as blew out his eardrums, he's got weird stuff going on. Having some little technical issues here. We'll get past it. But yeah, I mean, these younger guys, Julio Rodriguez, Ty France, basically everyone in the outfield. You hear me at all?
Now I can hear you. That static was crazy, yeah. Man. Now you're back.
Cool. Just having these younger guys on the team and being invested in them. And it seems like they had a good couple runs so far this year. I don't know if this year is necessarily going to be like the title chase that we kind of hoped it was going to be like 4 weeks ago, but it does seem like this is a team that they're going to actually go and try and pull some more pieces for and add to, rather than like, I mean, 4 years ago, Julio Rodriguez would already be on the trading block. You know what I mean? Try and get him gone for like, you know, six other prospects. And they've always been kind of doubling down being that like farm system for these other teams. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like they're actually going and like grabbing some pieces.
I agree that I don't think this is the year. I was optimistic about them having a good year and how exciting this team was. I never believed this was the year they were going to chase a title. I thought the Angels and Astros were just, even in their own division, were just too good. But I'll tell you what, man, Julio Rodriguez is must see television every time he comes up to bat for me. I haven't been this just like infatuated with a baseball player since Ken Griffey Jr. Like I want to see every single one of his at-bats. I want to know everything about him. I want the same chain that he has. I want the jersey that he has. I want to be as cool as he is. Like he just reeks of swag for this Mariners team. And it just, you see him kind of rubbing. I mean, Taylor Trammell comes up and has a good little run. Kyle Lewis gets healthy, gets out there. Jared Kelenic, I think, is just too serious. I just think he just takes the game way too seriously and is just...
He's on a pretty good...
Is he raking in AAA right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm fearful he's a quad A player. I'm fearful that he's going to end up kind of being the guy looking... But if he turns into a really good fourth outfielder, again, Haney gets healthy off of that high ankle injury. I mean, there's a chance for them to still make a run for a wild card spot here late in the season. But man, that Astros team is really good. Jeremy Pena is really surprising me. The Angels were my kind of sleeper pick to win the whole damn thing this year, and they're playing really well.
Well, they've lost like 12 of the last 15, though.
They're two and eight in their last 10, but yeah, they're still 27-25, which shows you how good they were before that.
Right. I think they were like 17-8 at one point. Yeah, and I mean, JP Crawford is a player that's kind of even like I'm lost in the shuffle. Yes. I also call him Fernando Tatis Jr. because he looks exactly he wears all the same gear as him, which I find
he does. Yeah,
but
I love the reggae walk-up songs all the time too. Uh-huh. You just tell JP's a guy I'd love to hang out with.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, he was looked at as like the crown jewel last year. I mean, almost like he was like the star of the team. He was on all the banners outside the stadium. And now it's really shifted over to Ty France and Julio Rodriguez. And I mean, Ty France is, oh, I know.
Every time Ty France does something, I'm like, damn it, Shane.
I mean, he's so
like, smoking, dude. He's just smoking
crazy.
It.
He seems unfazed by pressure, too. Yeah. I mean, he's batting .350 with runners in scoring position.
Yep.
That's
sick.
He's a monster. Yeah,
I would have had him instead of Haney right now. My fantasy season would be going a little bit differently.
Yeah, we're almost knotted up in the standings, right,
dude?
Now.
You're like my fantasy baseball nemesis. That thing that I sent you, like you kick my butt all the time. You're my toughest matchup. So, no, but this team's super fun to watch. It's nice to have some excitement around this team again. I love the bullpen, Paul Sewald. It's fun. either way, perfect time to wrap things up. Yeah, this Mariners team, super duper fun to watch. We'll definitely cover some more of them this summer, just giving us some more Pacific Northwest content. And we may have some more Pacific Northwest sports content coming out there for you. So be on the lookout for that soon also.
Yeah, it's almost there.
It's coming
right
together.
Right on the cusp.
I like it.
Just
like
waiting for a couple more things to fall in, and then, yeah. It should be a fun little project.
I dig it. Yeah. I dig it.
More on that later.
Yeah, just teasing you folks. Just teasing you. But once again, if you're still listening, thanks, Mom. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mom.
Yep. As always, take care of your chicken. Take care of your mentals. We appreciate you. We love you. We out.
Peace.
Sorry.
Do you want to dance? Huh? Do you want to dance?
Yeah. You know you make me wanna shout. A little bit softer now. A little bit softer now. A little bit softer.
Shout a little bit softer now. 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 Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little.